Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It's mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me pray. Lord, we do pray that you would guide us through these remaining chapters of Romans, starting here in chapter 12. Lord, teach us how to respond to all the truths that we've learned from the previous 11 chapters. Amen. There's a lot to take in there, isn't there? There's a lot that Paul's talking about. But really, this is similar to what's happening today. What we're finding is that many people are waking up to what the world is, what the reality of the world is. A bit like we see in the Matrix film. People have been woken up to that there's a reality beyond what initially we're seeing. And this is largely due to the events of the last 4 to 5 years. A lot of people have realised, well, actually, the world is not what I thought. Doesn't seem to operate as how people think it does. People are waking up. People are having their eyes opened. This is totally different from the dreadful woke movement, which is just about a mindless cult following. But people are gradually realising that they're opening their minds and their eyes to what's happening in the world, how the world operates. But what Paul is talking about here is even greater illumination of the mind. Only through Jesus can we truly see what's happening in the world. This is why we're coming into this last section of Romans. This is what life will look like for those who have been saved by the gospel. Those saved by the gospel, as Paul says, should be clearly different from the rest of the world. You should stand out. Paul is saying, given everything that I've talked about previously. First one, therefore. It's a huge therefore. That therefore means, given everything that I've talked about from chapters 1 to 11, how the fact that you needed the gospel, how the gospel works in your life, how the events around you, for the New Testament readers, how the events around you prove that the gospel is real. Given all that, first one, therefore, given all that, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of God's mercy, this is fundamental here. Because it had nothing to do with any of them. And the way we thank God for his mercy is to live in obedience. That's what Paul is encouraging. That's what proper worship is. Proper worship is to give credit to God in thanks, as opposed to try and earn credit from God. We don't need to earn anything from God, because we can't. He's given that to us. And verse 2 is key. Paul's saying, in the light of everything I've taught you, in the light of God's mercy, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, only then, will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the key thing. Now, as a Christian, if you've been saved by the gospel, if you know Jesus, your mind has been illuminated. Your mind has been renewed, transformed. And this is so much more than just understanding that there's different ways of doing things. To have your mind renewed, to be utterly transformed, means you have to unlearn everything that you previously knew. This is the heart of the gospel message. This isn't because we were almost there, we were 75% of the way there, or we understood 50% of how the world worked. We knew nothing. We need to unlearn that. And our mind is transformed. We need to understand that everything that we've been taught previously was just lies. And therefore, our whole outlook on the world, our purposes, our goals, our ambitions, all of those things are now changed. Because we're plugged into God's word and not the BBC. We want to hear and learn from truth. Our minds are transformed. And we realise God's word and not the BBC is the place for that. Think of it this way. So some of us have got Apple phones and some of us have got Android phones. So if we want what's inside of us, the software inside of us, to work properly, we need to make sure that we're plugged in to the right server to get the right software updates. If you have an Apple phone, there's no point going to Google to get your phone to work properly. But that's what the unsaved mind is doing. The unsaved mind is trying to be renewed or trying to gain information from somewhere that cannot give it to you. Do not conform to the pattern as well, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Plug yourself in to what made you. Only then can we understand. Verse 3, again, this has nothing to do with us, our abilities. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So humility always plays a part in this. If we're going to have our minds transformed, if we want to understand how the world works, we need to understand that we were completely wrong ourselves. And it's only through God's grace that we can now understand. And he goes on to say, you're all one body. All one body, all part of Christ's body, the church. But we're not all a hand or a shoulder, a knee. We're all different, but we all have a role to play. And what he's saying in the remaining verses of this middle section here is that just because you're a hand or a foot or a shoulder doesn't mean you're any less valuable or more valuable than anyone else. But we want to play our part in this body. And that's why he's talking about all the different gifts that Christ has distributed. An important thing to understand is that when we want to play our part in his body, understanding our gifting doesn't necessarily mean that's what we like doing most. That's a key difference. We might be really gifted at something, but actually prefer to do something else. What Paul is saying is to play your part in the body, do what you're good at, what's needed. All the while remembering that your mind has been completely renewed, transformed. And that's why Paul's saying, therefore, verse 1, therefore, after everything I've told you about, the way you should operate your lives, the way you conduct your lives, should be markedly different from the world. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. Only then will we understand what obedience is. And this is all about understanding the way the world works against the way a follower of Christ conducts their life. This is a pattern of the world through the way of the Christ follower. And we're going to see the contrast here. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What do we see? What do we see as the pattern of this world? It was characterized by self-serving. Self-serving. And we see this principally no more in any environment than these guys. Let me show you how self-serving the world is, principally seen through these people. On the left, early March 2020, that's them debating MP salaries. This is November last year, that's them debating excess. More people are dying now than at any point in history. That's how much the MPs care about that. That's how much they care about their salary, about your health. Barely a turner. Self-serving is the trademark of how the world works. What else do we see? The world loves evil. Loves it. Glorifies it. It's fantastic. Loves it. What else do we see? It's unfaithful. The idea of fidelity means nothing. Of course we're going to see that from these guys. This whole idea of polymory now is taking off. I mean, never take advice from anyone with pink hair anyway, let alone from them. But that's what the world loves. And it's antagonistic. It loves to be antagonistic. It's not trying to make peace. It loves to be antagonistic. To the point of, well, we can just put one group of people in the bin. It's fine with that. Loves it. But we're not called to be like that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. You, however, are different. You are set apart by God for God. Because we serve God. We don't serve ourselves. We serve God. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of something that you had no ability to do yourselves, and it's a gift, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how you say thanks, Paul is saying. This is what we're made for. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Doing what we were made to do. This means that everything we do in our lives should point the world to God. Because it's not about us. This is what literally the sacrifice means. It's in place of what we want for God. Instead of us, for God, for God's purposes. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Let's try and illustrate this. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to sacrifice Lucy. Okay? You lie down on the altar. Okay? And we're going to try and do it. You tie up her legs, you tie up her hands, Nancy. Not too tight. Okay, and we are going to, that's it. In order to please God, we're going to kill Lucy. Okay? Just like we saw with Abraham. Well, we know God was happy with that. Okay, that's not too tight. Right. Okay, enjoy it. But that's not really what verse 1 says. What does verse 1 say, Lucy Payne? There's a key word in there, in verse 1, isn't there?
So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what?
A living sacrifice. This is different now. God doesn't want a dead Lucy. He wants all of Lucy's life to be for God. Hey, you've been saved. You've been redeemed at the last minute. And this is the important thing. That's why we're looking at sacrifice. So sacrifice doesn't have to mean we kill ourselves or we give our life to someone else. He's saying your whole life, everything about your life, instead of serving your own wants and wishes, is now for God because he's saved you. Which means there might be things in our life that we need to give up. And I can think of one thing that every one of us, me included, would love to grip to more than anything else. We love that, don't we? If we have a choice between that and something hard, we're all going to go for that. Me too. We love comfort. Comfort, probably the hardest thing that we have to give up. Following Christ in this world is not easy. And that's always going to be the thing that we're going to find hardest to give up. That's what he wants us to do. All of our life to him. What else do we see? We see that the way of the Christian is genuine love. We don't love evil. We have genuine love. Verse 9. Love must be sincere. How do we know it's sincere? Because it hates what is evil. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. It means hating evil. This is where the modern church gets this so wrong. It thinks, oh no, what? To be loving, we need to embrace what God detests. God is just love. God is just love. He's just affirming. Doesn't want to change you at all. That's not what the Bible says. Bible's clear. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. God makes that quite clear. There's things that he detests. God is not all love. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Do not love the world. That goes against what you hear from the modern church, isn't it? Do not love the world. What do you mean? I thought we meant just affirm them. That's what loving is. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Romans 9, we saw a few weeks ago. Just as it's written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. God is love, yes, but he's not just love. He's a holy, righteous judge who will not stand for evil. He cannot deny what he is. And so genuine love, the way we love people, the way the Bible and God encourage us is to love people. Remember, we looked at this from the fruits of the Spirit. Genuine love is seeking the highest good for others. It means not affirming their evil desires, but pointing out that those evil desires are not good for them. That is genuine love. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Want the best for others. And it starts with the church family. Always starts with the church family. Jesus said this. If you want to show my genuine love for you and the genuine love for the world, is display your genuine love to each other. And by that, not only will the world understand that you follow me and not the world, they'll understand what true love is as well. By our love for each other, the world will know who we follow. This is the way of the Christian. What else do we see? Well, obviously, do the opposite of unfaithful. Faithful. The way of the Christian, who's not conforming to the pattern of the world, is faithful, not unfaithful. Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Being consistent in how we serve the Lord. Dependable, faithful to God, because that's who we serve. That's who we want to serve. That's our proper worship. That single-minded devotion to Him. And being faithful means we do that despite the circumstances. Verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Again, we looked at that, didn't we? The fruit of the Spirit. Joy. A gladness that transcends our circumstances. Being faithful is realizing that joy that we have in Christ is regardless of our circumstances, so we can keep being faithful to Him. The world says, if you don't like something, just get rid of it. Buy something new. Change it. You deserve better. The world owes you. That's what the world wants to say. The life of the Christian, whose mind has been renewed by grace, doesn't give up. They're faithful in what they've been called to do. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Be faithful to God, faithful to each other. After all, you're one body. It's no good the hand thinking, I'm going to go off with another body. We're all one body, all called to serve God. And then lastly, instead of being antagonistic, the way of the pattern of the world, the way of the world is being antagonistic, to want to cause division, hostility, the Christian is called to be a diffuser. A diffuser, not one of these, not a light diffuser or a hairdryer diffuser. Apparently they exist. Not that sort of diffuser, but people who diffuse hostile situations. People who don't continue to perpetuate a cycle of violence or retaliation. This is what Jesus talked about in terms of turning the other cheek. So often, again, another thing that's been so badly taken out of context. Jesus is not saying, be a doormat. If someone's going to hit you on the cheek, turn the other, be a doormat, let them walk all over you, or a punching bag. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, just don't retaliate. Let that cycle of violence stop with you. No angry retaliation. Again, fruit of the Spirit. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. How do I know that my mind has been transformed and renewed because of God's mercy? Because these fruits are the type of things we bear. That's what Paul was going through here. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's the, gentleness. The ability to not be easily provoked. The ability to not retaliate. Kindness, the ability to not retaliate, but bless. These are key characteristics for someone who's been transformed by God's grace, renewed their mind. We don't want to get into slagging matches. We don't want to trade insults, as tempting as that might be, and as satisfying as that is in the short term. We don't want to fall into those patterns, the patterns of the world. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay. The whole idea is that that cycle, that pattern of the world, stops with us. We're diffusers. This is just like this video here. When something bad is happening, when you see a pattern or cycle happening, it stops with the Christ follower. Have a look at this. So here's this burning anger going right through. But it stops with the Christ follower. We're called to stand out, to be different to the world. But not to be naive. We're not doormats or punch bags. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. But remember, that's not always going to be the situation. Because remember, genuine love means calling out when someone is headed in the wrong direction. And that's not always going to end in peace or harmony. This happens all the whole time. This pastor was arrested for genuine love at a rally like this. That's the pattern of the world. We don't want your genuine love. We're going to try and shut you up. So it won't always end in peace or harmony. But he has exhibited genuine love by calling out the sin. So as far as it's possible, we live in peace with everyone. But it won't always end in peace or harmony. The point is, though, we're not called to seek revenge. That is for God to deal with. God will sort out and right all the wrongs in his own time. That's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. Verse 20, we're called to be different. Verse 20, on the contrary to the pattern of the world, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. It doesn't mean you're literally pouring burning charcoal onto the head. It just means that you're invoking them, you're prompting them to repent. If your good deeds are clear to that person, they will repent and turn to God. That is genuine love. It's to point someone to God so they can receive that same grace that you didn't deserve either. I didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But God's mercy is free for those who turn to him in repentance. Genuine good deeds done in humility. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil. That's the pattern of the world. But overcome evil with good. That's the way of the Christian. But why would we want to do it? What's our motivation to do all this? Well, because God has given us a renewed mind, transformed us. He's given us a new way to see things. We now understand how the world works. We understand God's mercy. We understand our dependence on him. We understand, because we've got renewed minds, that this world isn't all that there is. Our renewed mind tells us that the best life is not here on earth. That's to come. So we don't need to fight and fall into the pattern of this world to try and get what we want now. That's to come. God has guaranteed that to come. And our renewed mind also tells us of our complete dependence on God. Our renewed mind tells us that we were nothing without the gospel. Our renewed mind tells us how the gospel worked, how it's a free gift, in spite of what we were. Our renewed mind shows us every day that the gospel works. Our renewed mind tells us that we are utterly dependent on God, and we serve him, not in duty, but in thanks, because he set us apart for his glory. Let me pray. Lord, we do indeed thank you for your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mercy that you've bestowed on us. Lord, we were truly lost, going our own way, but you've opened our eyes, our minds and our hearts to the realities of not only where we were heading, but where we can go now, assured by the faith that you've given us through Jesus. And Lord, with that transformed mind, our renewed mind, Lord, help us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to devote our lives to you as living sacrifice in obedience. Lord, we know this is the only way to give thanks for your mercy. And Lord, as we do that, as we point our lives to you, Lord, would other people see the glory of your grace, and would they turn to you in repentance? Amen.